Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Magical in that respect. A great.
It's a technical phenomenon. Like, we haven't fixed it.
I would like to apologize for the technical difficulties we have been going through here.
No. It's not a
three,
problem.
4 months.
This could have all been avoided.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Months ago.
Great. How about can I do it with co-hosts? Can I do it with Mark James on Friday?
That's Mark with a C. James.
Oklahoma City, Russell Westbrook. They did not want this to linger.
Biggest takeaway if you're a Celtics fan, thank God you are in the East.
Where are the green teamers?
The end of super teams in the NBA.
I think that how much you get paid should have something to do with how much money you bring in.
Equal pay for equal gender.
Wiggy's filler, Eddie Andelman thing is when you look at.
Right,
he
does
always says when you look at, and that's he's thinking. Well, and that's, I like actually like their show because of Lou and Christian.
Oh, okay.
Peaked in 89, kind of like Glenn Oldway.
Right now.
I'll read a tweet from Jerry Callahan, who was on this morning, and he tweeted out a little after noon today. Well, that was fun, and it's been a blast. After 20 years in morning drive, I did my last show on WEEI this morning.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Right back here on OMF. The MFers are off. They'll be back on Monday. Christian and Lou will be here on Monday. We've got Mark James with a C, and we've got Wiggy here as well. Wiggy appropriately wore the Wiggy and Callahan t-shirt to work today.
Yep.
Obviously, he didn't get the memo from earlier in the day.
I missed that one.
And Jerry tweeted it out at 12:11 today. Well, that was fun. After 20 years in morning drive, I did my last show on WEEI this morning. Thanks to all who listen. Unfortunately, this ain't a movie. Sometimes the bad guys win. Much more to come.
And it's been a blast.
And I'm sure there'll be a lot more, and I'm sure Jerry probably will openly, talk about all of this stuff. Jerry's been a friend for many, many years. Jerry has been on this radio station not renewing his contract. I'm a little puzzled that he shows up in the press release on the sixth paragraph, but, you know, the company's got to move on. And they are launching the Greg Hill Morning Show on WEEI beginning on July 29th. I'm not here to say anything negative about Greg. He's a good guy. I've known Greg for a long period of time. Runs a wonderful foundation. He's a terrific broadcaster. And I wish him all the luck. But I'm also, in the same sentence, going to tell you that Jerry is out. And I feel bad about that. I feel awful about that because Jerry was a tremendous broadcaster. But we are in a day and age right now in which there's an awful lot of pressure that if you try to put a compelling radio show on and you have a differing view than other people, people want you to conform. They want you to carry their same view. They want you to walk lock in step. And if you don't, it's very simple. They start calling advertisers. They start complaining. They get media people behind you because we all have to think the same way. We all have to say the same things. And I remember the day, and this is where I'm the old bastard in the group. I remember the days where if I was pissed off or I didn't like something that I heard on the radio, I would simply push the button. And I'd go find something that I like. But we don't do that anymore. So instead of sitting around and having differing ideas, and Jerry had different ideas. And I will say this, he's the most honest person I think I've ever known in my life. He is exactly what he says. He believes in that stuff. It's not made up. There are a lot of people that do come on the radio and they make crap up and they're totally different off the air than they are on the air. That guy's genuine. What he says on the air, he believes. And you could sit there and you could say, well, he's this and he's that or whatever, because you don't agree with him. So what is wrong with disagreeing with him? What is wrong with, you know, Alex Reber going there and I heard them arguing this morning and going back and forth of having differing views about the women's soccer team. But you can't do that in 2019. And Jerry had a terrific and very successful show with Dino for all those years. And if you look at this radio station, I know people have seen the ratings. The ratings are not good right now. Well, we've gone through hell here for the last year or so. Things have changed. But you want to go back a little over a year in Morning Drive when it was Kirk and Jerry were number one. And the midday show with OMF was number one. And this station had rebounded nicely. But there are forces out there that obviously feel differently, and they wanted to present their view. They wanted everybody to conform to their view. To me, that's boring, awful radio. If we're going to turn the radio on or the TV on and everybody's going to speak exactly the same with the exact same language, to me, that's not, I love this new phrase in life, content. Nah, that's a bunch of fluff. That's a bunch of fill. That's not genuine. That's not real. Jerry was real for all these years. You might not have disagreed with him. Christ, I disagree with him all the time. Politically, he and I have conversations on the phone and we disagree about stuff. What is wrong with that? What's wrong with sitting there across the table from somebody in a radio show and disagreeing with something that they say? Okay? What is wrong with having a different view than somebody else? You present your view, they present their view, and I'm not saying that you do it the way PBS does it, where everybody hushes and they're really... No! That's not genuine. That's not honest. We raise our voices. I'm a blowhard. I yell all the time. I scream. I don't dislike people. I don't, especially the people who have different views. I like it when people have different views. Jerry loved it. Jerry always wanted to have those type of people in that studio that totally disagreed with him. And I'll guarantee you, you go ask those people that disagreed with him politically, and they'll tell you the exact same thing. He wanted those people. Because he wanted the differing views out there. Much better radio, compelling radio. But we're in a situation now, guys, where we have people that want everybody to be the same. So what they're going to do is they're going to put on campaigns out there, and they're going to get certain media people behind them to put campaigns on, and they'll send correspondence after correspondence to advertisers saying, if I can pull the green plug, get the cash from flowing, then I can influence it. If everybody wants the world to be like that, if you want radio to be like that, good luck to you. Good luck. You'll have one voice. You don't need a bunch of people. Just get one person. Have them do 24 hours a day and keep on repeating it. But you wonder about the pressure and you say, well, why does the company succumb to pressure like that? Well, there are a lot of people involved in this radio station that are in sales, administration, in engineering, in accounting. These people rely on a paycheck to feed their family, to put their kids through school. They have transportation. They have jobs. And so when the revenue stream starts to dry up, those people's lives are affected. These people don't give a rat's ass if their lives are affected. All they want is everybody to talk and act exactly the way they act. Again, if you want that, if that's what we're going to become, good luck to you. I'm toward the end of my career. I don't have to deal with it soon here. You know, everybody else can deal with it. But that's never the way radio was. That's not the way radio used to be. And so now we figure the best way of doing is we're going to silence those voices. Well, then you're going to get monotone, boring radio where everybody says the same thing. Now, the company has got to move on because the company is a business. And so they're bringing in Greg Hill. And as I said, Greg's a terrific guy. He's a terrific personality. I wish him all the best of luck, and I certainly will be very supportive of him. But I'm a little dismayed today that Jerry Callahan, who is one of the all-time great radio personalities in this town, has been given his walking papers and told, we no longer need you. But we need more Callahans. And by the way, we need people on the other side of the aisle as well who are willing to stick with their convictions and maybe get into debate. You guys have been on the show with Jerry.
Right.
You tell me. I've known him for, you know, God, 30 years. You guys tell me.
Well, you know, my perception was a little bit different, right? So here I am coming in, and all I know of Jerry Callahan initially.
Because the right winger.
Yeah, I've only been here, you know, for, you know, a few months. So I have a certain view, and that's the way it is because you hear somebody on the radio. But then once I get in, I start doing some stuff with him, and I'll never forget. The reason why I'm kind of in this position right now is because Jerry was talking. I think they might have been talking about black coaches in sports or whatever. And I called in and, you know, and then next thing you know, I'm up in studio. And Jerry and I love the back and forth. You know, It's I always looked at it. We saw the world from different views. You know, I'm from a certain place. He's from a certain place. I'm of a certain race and nationality. He's completely different. And that was fun. It was trying to, you know, show him a little bit of what my world was like and him showing me what his world was like. And I was able to kind of get to know him a little bit when we went down to the Super Bowl and we were able to fly on Retrex, which was amazing. And he was the one who hooked that thing up. His private jet.
Must have been nice.
It was beautiful.
Shared the shrimp and the filet.
For a guy who was there for like a week.
And I told Jerry, I said, listen, I can't even fly no more. I'm completely spoiled to this. But I got to know him off the air. And like you said, Glenn, he was the same type of guy off the air as he was on the air. And so that's the thing that I like is – I like people who keep it 100. And even though you might not agree what he had to say and that kind of things, but at least you knew he was real and this is where you went.
So what's wrong with that now? What is wrong with that interview? And then we come up with labels. He's a racist. He's this. He's a homophobe.
Because the business has changed. You and I had a conversation about this, Glenn, a couple weeks ago. Let me just say this about Jerry. Is that when I think of Boston Sports Radio, the first thing that comes to mind is the big show that you hosted. And I think of Dennis and Callahan and Eddie Edelman. You guys built this business in this town. You were the, whatever WFAN was to New York City, you guys were, you know, whether it was Imus and then Mike and the Mad Dog, you guys were that to Boston. Jerry was real. He was raw. He was unapologetic. I got a chance, like you, Wiggy, for the last 6-7 months to be on his morning show. And then when Dino left, Kirk and Callahan became a bigger success, and they were number one, and they carried the station, and that was it. They were it. It sucks, but Glenn just brought it up. Wiggy, this business that we're in, it's changing for the worse. They're trying to muzzle people with strong opinions, and they're trying to say, no, you can't do that. You have to do this. You can't. And unfortunately, I just wish the guy got a chance to say goodbye to his audience today. He didn't get a chance. He didn't even know until after the show.
Right.
And that, to me, was like, I think he deserved a little more than that. Can I say that? Is that fair?
You can say whatever you want.
Yeah, you can say what you want. I mean,
he deserves, just to say goodbye, the guy's been here since January of 95.
Right.
Uninterrupted. I wish he would have gotten a chance to say goodbye to everybody who liked him or didn't like him.
But Glenn, you asked the question, and it's today that the society that we live in, you know, it's people are sensitive to say what they want to sensitive. And when you say something that they don't like and they don't agree with, it's like they got to go run into the principal's office and they got to, you know, make a big stink. He's got to be fired. It's just, you know, we talk about.
But here's where it's changed for the worse. So I disagree with something you say. I'm adamant. I make my position. So instead of you saying, and I'm just saying you are sitting there saying, well, you're wrong. I disagree with you.
Right.
Okay. Instead of just having that debate right now, we have to shut that other person down as a group. This is what people want to do.
Yeah.
And so what are we gaining by this? What is the whole gain of it? And I will tell you this. You know, this radio station's gone through an awful lot in the last couple of years. And I obviously, like Jerry, was tossed out of here a few years back. And then they brought me back, or as Kirk likes to say, I came crawling to the station, even though Kirk and Jerry were very helpful in carrying me like a little fat baby.
You got carried back then.
Got carried back by those guys. But the radio station made an amazing comeback.
Yeah.
And they were number one in morning, as Mark said. We were number one with OMF and midday. And the afternoon guys were number two and doing really well, you know, with Dale and Holly. And later Keith. And so the station was going great, and then all of this stuff has allowed people, I think, to pick away at it. And that's all I'm saying about it. It is a business. I understand how it works. Certainly, ratings have got to be up there, and that's part of the business. I've lived and died with ratings throughout my entire career, and that's the way it goes, and we move on. And I wish Greg all the good luck he's going to have and the fortune he's going to have in doing that show, and he's got a lot to do to resurrect everything. But it's too bad that that's where we are, and that a guy like Jerry Callahan today.
Well, it's the bottom line, like you said. If it affects the business or the company's bottom line, you know, you either have to adapt or they move on or whatever it may be. But at the end of the day, I think, you know what, you should say what you feel. You should say what's on your mind. You have a platform. That's what this is, to give your opinion on what you believe in. Even if people don't agree with it or don't like it, you can't be sensitive and you can't be running to the principal's office.
Well, that, And that's unfortunate. That, like Glenn mentioned, that happens more often than not. The one thing I will say, though, too, and I mentioned this in the first hour, in the 2 o'clock hour, when Glenn brought up Jerry and what he's meant to the station, from a charity standpoint, incomparable. Things he did for Dana Farber and Jimmy Fund, off the charts. We cannot overstate that enough. And I just wish, I think everybody here will remember him differently. He was polarizing, but nobody did his job better in this market, in this medium, than Jerry Callahan.
But he made you think. That's the thing, even if you disagree with him, and as I said, there are times politically I disagree with him, and he and I will get into debates on the phone or whatever, but he made you think. He always came to play with his homework done. He was always prepared. Right. He was well-read. He's a really smart guy, but you can hate him politically. I don't have a problem if you say that, but the fact that people hated him to the point where they wanted to make sure that his voice was no longer heard, that to me is a problem in our business.
Yep.
And to everybody out there, it really is. And I don't care where you stand politically, but man, stand up for everybody's got a voice. Let's stop this crap of let's try to shut people down and pull the plug. And come on.
If you don't agree with somebody and you feel a certain way about something, rather than trying to get that person removed, grow some balls, go in there and have a debate with them, have a discussion with them, whatever it may be, and hey, say, here's why I don't agree with you. I think you're this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. And now you're able to at least have a debate with that person. And then who knows? My biggest thing is, like, I always look at it like this. Maybe I say something that you go home and you think about and go, you know what? I never really thought about that. Or maybe he says something and then I go, you know what? I never really thought about why that is. And now it might kind of sway my thinking a little bit.
Listen, I'm not saying that anybody's going to change my mind. I'm a stubborn old mule. I get that, and I understand that, and I think people who have listened to me over the years know that, but I will listen to the other side of it. But what's wrong with having different views? To me, that's compelling radio. And let me tell you, the one thing that Jerry Callahan knew, he knew good radio.
Yeah.
He understood good radio, knew what you had to do. He also knew the crap. He knew the filler. I love this day and age, we all talk about content. Mm-hmm. That's the buzzword, content. I don't know where it came from, but suddenly everybody's using content. Half of the content people are talking about is a bunch of BS. It's filler.
Right.
We're filling. We're putting a guest on. We're putting somebody that's going to give us nothing to the table. Jerry understood that.
Right.
And he argued and he debated with people back here and saying, we don't need that guy and we need that guy. And I'm telling you, in many cases, most cases, Jerry was right about it. He's going to be missed.
And the one thing he did say, to kind of piggyback off that point, I remember we were having this discussion. I think we were.
By the way, hold on. He's not dead.
He texted me and asked me
if Jerry died. He's not dead.
No, he's not dead.
He's
alive and well.
Yes. I got a text from him earlier.
By the way, I'll just say this. I'm glad his last week I got a chance to work with him on Wednesday.
Right.
So that was one of his last shows.
And here's what he said to me one time off air. You bring up the content. He goes, the problem is, too many people get caught up in the content. It's not about the content. It's about the personalities speaking on that content.
Right.
Right? And that's what's engaging to people. And Jerry knew that. We were having a discussion. It might have been about black coaches or Michael Bennett or whatever it was. And he looked and he goes, you know what? Hey, 80% of the calls disagree with me, but let's stay here because this is entertaining, engaging, and that's what people have to realize. It's not about the content. It's about the personalities and the people talking about it. And Jerry, you know, he completely changed my perception of him because I thought about him one way, you know, before I got here. And then when I got here and I got a chance to work with him and get to know him, I said, you know what? I got a different view on that.
I think a lot of people do that. And again, it's perception.
Yeah.
Right.
And we're taking perception right now. And we're allowing it to play in the same game with reality. And
right.
You can't do that.
Right. And when I didn't agree with him, I picked up the phone and I called in the station and I said, Curtis, put me on the air. And he goes, I can't do that because this was before.
Yeah, you were
Jermaine in a car.
Yeah.
Jermaine in South Boston.
Yeah.
But can you give us I just want to know, because you've known him for 30 years, an anecdotal story that nobody knows about him? Like just something in particular, because you've been able to have, you knew him when he going back to his days with the Lowell Sun, for crying out loud, which, I mean, this was prior to the Herald and Sports Illustrated and all that. I'm like, Lowell's son.
Well, I could give you a lot of different stories about Jerry, but I'll go back to the one that you brought up because you brought this up earlier in the show, and I didn't even think about this with all of this stuff that's happened here today, and that was the Jimmy Fund radio telethon that is coming up on August 21st and 22nd, in which we're all so into, and you know, it's the one time of the year that you can sit here and say, okay, we're a bunch of blowhards and we have an easy gig and we sit here and talk sports for 4 hours, but that day we actually do something for people. Because to be honest with you, compared to the other people out there outside that window there in society, we don't do squat to help anybody. Okay, right. That day, those 2 days, right. I think we do, and we feel great about right. it. But you mentioned it to me and I said, oh my God, that's going to be the killer for Jerry, because I remember the 2 years that I was out, it drove me crazy those 2 days not being part of it. And I will tell you this, Jerry's a cancer survivor like I am, and Jerry has been devoted to the Jimmy Fund, Dana Farber, and he spends time over there and Christmas party that they do with the kids. And I know what he does over there, and you know, nobody, he doesn't like talking about it. You sound like a hardo when you sit there and say it, so I'll say it for him. He's been a big part of it. I guarantee you, the Jimmy Fund people, you'll hear them mm-hmm. talking about it a lot. But damn, he's not going to be part of that on August 21st and 22nd. And that, I think, is going to be difficult for him. I think it's going to be difficult for all of us. So let me give you, because a lot of people are texting us and tweeting us, so what the hell is happening? So Jerry is out. That means, Wiggy, your assignment is out in the morning.
Yes.
And Mark,
yeah,
you're out.
Yeah, yep, yep.
And
well,
Raymer
I'm still pushing, though. Now I'm just, you know, efforting in a different direction.
Right. He'll
it. He'll make it. Second, okay. Still you know,
two floors up, yes. On the right. Okay. You know, go in there and send him a box of chocolates.
Hey, Glenn. Yeah. Glenn, you know, Wiggy, is when I lived in Miami in South Beach, they had these bottle hoppers, these hot girls.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And,
right.
And when the bottle goes, they go to the next table.
Yes.
That's Wiggy's a bottle hopper.
Bottle hopper.
Yes.
Very good.
Yes.
So Mike Muttmanansky, I'm reading the press release here, is going to transition to hosting evenings at the station.
Mud at night.
And then in the morning drive starting on July the 29th, it'll be Greg Hill and his co-host Danielle. And it says a rotating group of additional contributors.
Oh, interesting.
Well, fellas, there's an opportunity.
The door's open. I think your boy Fitzy will be probably part of that, I would imagine.
Fitzy was good this week. Have you heard Fitzy?
Yeah, I did.
Very,
yeah,
good.
Very good.
I was yesterday impressed with him.
Yeah.
He's good, sober, or drunk.
Probably better than drunk. Better drunk,
good
though.
Good either way.
Yeah. It's so, Slitzy now. That's what he wants to be called.
I mean, like, here's the thing. It's an end of an era, and it sucks. Yeah, and it's like, but it goes back to, you know, Hyman Roth and The Godfather Part Two. This is the business we have chosen. No. But Glenn, you know as well as I do,
nobody died.
No, I know, but this isn't the business that you chose back in the day. It's changed now. It's changed exponentially.
It's a little different.
It won't go to The Godfather. What was it, two or three? When he goes, just when I thought I was out, they pull me back.
That was three.
Who knows?
Three.
Jerry might be back in a couple years. I mean, Glenn,
it happened to me. You never know. Maybe somebody will go out there and he'll go on his hands and knees and he'll crawl back.
Or somebody will carry him back.
What I did, but it was a great run for Jerry, and people should appreciate him for the great run that he had. All right, we're gonna get back to the show. I promise, because I want to get my ass out of here, and it looks like the clock. I got 40 more minutes to do so. All right, we'll do it.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Once again, it's Glenn, Lou, and Christian. Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Glenn was at the finish line to greet his daughter.
What's his daughter's first name?
Amanda.
Amanda, we were on AM until 2010.
I think she went to Utah.
Don't you have more respect for her than ever? Because that's her dad.
I know.
That's her dad, and she overcome that.
And this is what he said to her. It was incredible.
We're getting to Kyrie Irving. Okay, we're getting to the Celtics in a second.
Just can't get off that.
Just finish the race. We're getting to Kyrie.
Dad, I'm trying to finish the race.
You ask anybody who's there.
Why are we not on FM?
They're killing us.
It's not a big man's game anymore. It's a three-point shooting contest.
We need... Thank God I won't have that eel picking on me every morning now, huh? Sick of that. How many years has he been doing that? I'm fat. Okay. Big mouth. And, you know, now he attacks my members of my family. Good. I take it all back. I'm glad he's gone.
Oh, there you go.
That's a great thing.
Gone. Should have been gone a long time ago. By the way, I just heard that produced tribute after I got done talking. Can I just mention this so everybody knows? Jerry Callahan did not die. Okay. Matter of fact, he's not even sick today. They just let him go. But I heard that tribute. You hear that tribute? Yep. Doesn't it sound like
you're pushing up daisies?
I'm having these people texting me. They just heard the, the tribute there. The produced tribute.
He's still old, but he's still alive.
I thought he's. I thought he was dead. All right. What do you want to talk about? We got about a half an hour to go.
My
whatever you want to talk about.
Whatever I want to talk
about. I'm going to give you the. I tell you what.
Wow.
This is here's what this is. This is the audition for you. Hillman is listening right now. Okay. This is an audition for you. For the morning show, the new, brand new morning show.
Okay.
For you. By the way, I went during the break. I went upstairs by Hillman's office.
Yes.
Reamer, underneath the desk.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
That doesn't surprise me.
Go ahead.
Well, let's talk about the new show in the morning. Go ahead. If that's what you want to talk about.
No, you talk about what you want to talk about. I'm done talking for the day. I'm sorry.
I'm done.
It's a weekend. I'm done.
All right, Wiggy, let's go. Me and you.
Got another good day.
Malcolm Butler doesn't cover slot.
All right, so what do we have? We had the Carmelo Anthony thing on the table.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
no one really cares about that.
No,
you know, no one cares about
do something in which the new guy, well, he's not a new guy, but he's been at a different station, what he would want to hear. Do something.
What would he want to hear? Okay, let's get back into this.
The instructions.
Let's get back into this Landon Roberts story here.
Okay.
Where this guy, in my opinion, was wrongfully profiled, and now we're going to see what's going to happen moving forward. And I do like the fact that he comes out and he says some things that he wants to try to help out relationships between law enforcement and people in the black community, black brown men with traffic stops, because I think that is a good thing, because that's the thing I think is the problem in the society that we're living in. A lot of the problem is the lack of communication, and we've seen it. We've seen it with Jerry Callahan and this whole situation.
It's our industry.
Well, but that's
communication business.
But you asked the question of why, right? Why? Because we don't know how to communicate with each other, and we don't know how to make people feel like, okay, here's the reason why, or here's what's going on, and let me try to get to you to understand why I'm doing this, rather than just yelling and screaming down Landon Roberts' throat. And that's what it kind of seems like that they did down there in Texas. So, you know, hopefully moving forward, they'll be able to get some things done. And he said,
go ahead.
Okay, I just want to make this one point. He said he's not doing this for any type of financial gain.
No.
Okay, wait a minute. What financial gain is he going to get?
He's not going to get
it. He's going to get like an Oprah show? What are we talking about?
No, he's doing this for altruistic purposes. I have no problem. He was wrongfully racially profiled. He was at his house. Now, he was driving 24 miles over speed.
Wait a minute. We don't know if he was racially profiled when he was stopped.
He said the big black man. The cop said big black man. I mean, that's sort of.
Okay, but it's a description of the guy who was speeding. I agree with what Wiggy said. And as a matter of fact, I think I said it first in the fact that this cop is claiming on the phone now back to dispatcher that he wouldn't comply.
Right.
I don't see that in the video.
And the video
seems to me
shows
like he's totally complying. He was in his driveway, pulling into his driveway. The first reaction I would have would be to open the door and get out of my driveway. And then I look back and I see cop car there and I'm going, whoa, I put my arms up because I suddenly noticed that the cop is pointing his light at me. Right. So that's what I do. So I think he complied. I think the cop overreacted. So the question I have is the devil's advocate, which apparently you can't do on radio anymore, have another view out there. Oh, for God forbid.
Yeah, be careful.
But did Landon Roberts, months later now, it's July.
Yep.
This happened on March 10th. The police the next day called up, apologized,
right,
said they were wrong, dismissed the ticket, which he was guilty of speeding, going 59 in a 35-mile-per-hour speed zone. But months later, he suddenly wants to make a big issue and now wants to file harassment inquiry against the police department. Is he using it for his own use? I'm not saying just his use, but that people are pressuring him right now, saying, you got to get this story out there,
I bet you there are people in his ear. And then, you know, with the video coming out, that obviously brings things up, right? Because now,
so is he overreacting in the same way that the cops overreact?
Well, no, I don't think he is overreacting. I think what he's doing here, and he says this, my hopes is that this type of bias-based traffic stop can end and that perhaps other black drivers might see how to de-escalate a threatening situation. So his thing is, like, I want to use this, my platform, because that's what we have here, and him being a professional athlete, he now has a platform to say, hey, listen, here's how I reacted when the police kind of came at me in a little aggressive situation.
Yeah, but you said bias-based stop. They weren't stopping. They didn't know.
We don't know that.
Okay. But he was apparently speeding. He didn't deny that.
We know he was speeding.
Okay?
We know he was speeding.
And he couldn't find his insurance form, which I understand. I've been in that situation before. You're sitting there, your heart's pounding, and you're sitting there going, license, registration, insurance, and you're going, holy crap.
But right, I think it's more about the stop after the speeding, right?
So no, I think it's all about the fact that the police officer overreacted because he sat there and he called into the dispatcher and he was calling for backup, which I understand. I don't have a problem with him calling for backup. If he's the lone officer out there, you don't know what you're dealing with, right?
Right.
Whether it's a white guy, black guy, blue guy, whatever. And he mentioned it was a big black man, which I hear you. Sets off a red flag.
There,
I can understand.
Communication.
I get
problem
it.
Right
I get
there.
The sensitivity there. But when he said he wouldn't comply.
Right.
And my problem, I have no problem with him stopping Landon Roberts for speeding. If that's what you're speeding, you should be stopped. You should be ticketed. Okay? But when you call in and say he wouldn't comply, now what you're doing is you're escalating everything.
So
you're
so
making it seem like it's a lot worse than it really is.
The deputy's name is Adam Watkins, who is performing this traffic stop. And he said, quote, I haven't even begun the traffic stop. The big black man who was driving got out of the car. I told him to get back in. He wouldn't comply. I had to yell at him pretty hard to comply. Those last two statements are erroneously false. He
did
comply.
The black man got out of the car. I told him to get back in. He wouldn't comply. I had to yell at him pretty hard.
See, that's
wrong.
Those two sentences are lies.
Here's what we know, right? So that tells me that as somebody who's been stopped before, there's now a communication issue, right? Here's Landon Roberts, who's a grown man, just like this police officer. We know that Landon Roberts didn't say that he was racially profiled, right? We could throw that out the window. We know that he broke the law by speeding. Now, once you get to that point where you are now in a situation where you are in your driveway, and I understand why he gets out, because he might not know what's going on. Usually you blow by a cop, you don't know if that cop's going to pull you over. And then by the time you get to your driveway, it's like, uh-oh, are they coming after me? Is there something going on in my house? So he steps out of the car, and now that's where we have a communication issue, where it's like, okay, he gets out, his hands are up, and the officer says, then get back in the vehicle. He then proceeds to sit back in the vehicle with his hands up and go back inside to the car.
Well, but you didn't mention the part about his wife. His wife, his name is Tori Roberts. She came out to the cops and said, this is our house. And then Watkins, the deputy, said, if you don't get back in the house, you will be arrested. Go back in the house for your safety. And she said, for my safety or my husband's?
See, I will tell you this. All normal reactions. And I've been looking at people who have been tweeting about this, and they're saying, you know, if an officer pulls you over, you're told you don't get out of the car. Well, I'm looking at the dash cam footage here, okay? Because, and the deputy says this over the radio, that Roberts exited the car before the traffic stop had begun.
Right.
He wouldn't comply. I had to yell at him pretty hard to comply. Well, I saw the video. I heard the audio here. He did not have to yell at him pretty hard to comply. And the reaction that Landon Roberts had is he was pulling into his driveway.
Right.
But the first reaction. But you got to understand one thing we never bring up. Glenn, the cop doesn't know that's his driveway.
Yeah, but it doesn't. But the cop. But you.
Do you want to? You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's fair.
And normally, when you get pulled over, you're not supposed to get out of
the
car.
Right. But see, Landon Roberts probably doesn't know that, right?
I mean, he doesn't know you're not supposed to get out of the car.
Okay, so let's look at this. If you're
in your driveway, he doesn't know. He sees lights. This is Landon Roberts' driveway.
If he's on the side of the highway, he might know.
I'm not going to get out of the car.
So let's go on what Mark just said, because I think Mark brought up a legitimate point. He doesn't know that it's his house.
Yes.
He's pulling into the driveway. He's saying, oh my God, this guy finally did stop. I've been trailing him now for a quarter of a mile, a half a mile. So the officer probably did exactly what he thought he was supposed to do. He did the right. On the other hand, when you look at it and understand the particulars that is his house, he was opening the door and getting out of his own car in his own driveway. That is a normal reaction.
Right.
But the officer, I think, when he says he didn't comply, he did comply.
Well, that's my point.
If he didn't comply because he didn't stay in the car, his normal reaction would be to open the door and get out.
And you want to know the most amazing thing about this? He didn't even get a ticket. He basically, in most states, you're driving 20 miles over the speed limit.
Because they overreact.
Yeah. Well,
they know they did.
Okay. Right.
And hold on. That's the problem I have with this. So the officer overreacted to the situation. The police department deputy understood it. They understood it. They're apparently sending the officer now to extra training or whatever. They obviously were pacifying Landon Roberts and, right, his attorney by doing that. I get that. Who knows whether he actually did or not, but at least they threw that in there. And they dismissed the ticket. Months later, you suddenly sit there and say, nah, I'm going to bring this back up.
But when does the video come out, right? Maybe the video comes out now. The video hasn't been out, so maybe that's part of why you move forward on this, right?
I don't know.
I'm just saying, this is the first time that we're all seeing the video, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I hadn't seen this video until today.
Yeah, so, USA Today had it.
Right, so maybe what Landon Roberts is thinking, okay, you know, now here's why I want to do it. I want to maybe, what he's saying is he wants to show black people how to de-escalate a threatening situation. So in his mind, he felt like he was in a threatening situation and he handled it the right way, which I give him credit for. You know, you have to comply. You have to do everything that they say. But it's all about the communication problem. And here's where I think we run into a problem. And when I say we, I say law enforcement and, you know, people that are black and Latinos, where they run into the problem is the communication. And it goes both ways. I'm not always just going to put it on law enforcement, because there are times when you see some videos and you're like, man, really? Yeah.
Well,
you're talking to the cop like that?
Okay, but that's what I was going to say to you. In this case, looking at the video and playing it out, I can understand Landon Roberts' actions. I, as a white person, would probably do exactly what he did, okay? I would react the same way. And so, therefore, I do throw it back on the cops. And why did you overreact in this case? But what pisses me off sometimes is that we see some of these videos and the person is being belligerent.
Right.
And the person is going out of their way. And then people are defending the person, the driver, sitting there saying, well, he was rude to the cop was rude to him. Whatever.
Right.
I hate to tell you, you know, they don't know what they're going to get, especially in a night situation when they're walking up to your window and they're asking for license and registration.
Right.
Sometimes they've got to be pretty strict in the way they're doing
it. And that's why I say it comes down to with the right communication and knowing and being able to, in your best way, because I think police officers have the hardest job, is being able to figure out the situation and see, okay, what direction do I need to take this in? And, you know, what type of tone do I have to use? And that's the biggest thing, because when you start to see a lot of these situations, a lot of the times that they do escalate, and we just think about it. We didn't see it not too long ago. Did you see the video? I believe it was down in Florida where the police officer was on the side of the SUV getting dragged down the highway.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that video, but they showed the officer come up to him. And he's saying something, and he's doing it in a calm way, but then the guy inside is getting all upset. He's getting all heavy. So there's a lack of communication that goes both ways.
All right, so is this police harassment? Because it is an overreaction by the cop. I will give you that clearly, because I think Landon Roberts did everything he was supposed to do. It's the normal reaction you would have based on the situation. But is it police harassment?
I don't think it's police harassment.
Well, that's what he's filing here.
But
I think what he's saying
is that maybe the police went a little bit.
So why don't you say that? Well, why do you sit here and you want an inquiry on police harassment?
Well, because what
it is what it is.
Because I think there's no other way to file a complaint without using the language of police harassment. You know, I think there's different levels to police harassment.
See, I like this. He'll bring to Hillman Show. He'll bring legal background
and stuff.
Well, it's different levels, right? It's not the same.
Like this.
Even though they call it robbery, it doesn't mean if you rob a bank and you rob a convenience store, they're two different things, right? One you robbed for a piece of gum, the other one you robbed for $5,000. So
still robbery.
It's still robbery. So making a complaint.
Well, no, I see one of 20 to 35 years. Well, and the other is robbery.
Well, it's still, but there's still robbery at the end of the day. It's still theft. So
yeah.
When he says it's harassment, I think you have to use, that's the proper wording.
All right, can we go to some phone calls here? Let's do it. Here's Michael and Southie. Hi, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Michael?
My call.
You got it, bud.
First, I want to say God bless Jerry. Sweetheart of a guy. I had a chance to meet him a few times. Outstanding.
Jerry.
Jerry, absolutely. It seems ironic, though, that he got fired today, Glenn, and you got stuck with these two. You're the star of the show now.
I was going to say, who do you think got the worst of the deal? Jerry getting fired and me stuck with Wiggy and Mark James.
What about me? I got stuck with these two, with Mark James and Glenn. I mean, come on. That's harassment.
No, it's Wiggles and Mark Teabags. You got the short angle in.
I would say that's caller harassment right there.
I'm harassed.
I'm trying.
We've heard worse.
I feel like I'm being harassed.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for
calling 911.
Holding for an hour for that.
What do you want? You want tomorrow?
Tomorrow and Sunday now.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Tomorrow and tomorrow, Hart, Sunday by myself. Yeah.
A lot of Apple Music for me this weekend. What do you got this
got
weekend?
Sunday with, I think, Reamer and Bradphone.
Oh, Bradphone. Bradphone show.
And we could get Reamer's reaction.
Oh, God.
Because did you hear Reamer on the show when it goes, if Jerry.
Yeah.
They made it a point if Jerry was gone, Reamer was out.
Yeah.
So.
That Bradphone show.
So we have a lot of Kleenex around this weekend for all these people that were participants.
By the end of the show, I will be
sponsored. It's the end of an era for more than one person.
Yeah, I think you're right. Joe's in a car. Hello, Joe.
Hey, fellas.
Hey, Joe.
Hello. So before I get started, real quick, Big O, just clarify for me real quick, which part you think the officer overreacted on?
I think he overreacted when he, to the dispatcher, said that the driver wouldn't comply.
Yeah.
That's an overreaction.
That's what I thought you were saying. And if you watch the video again, Big O, he was not talking to the dispatcher. He never actually radioed to the dispatcher except to say that he was conducting a traffic stop.
Well, that's not true.
I'm
reading the report.
Because right after he said what he said, another officer approached the opposite, the passenger side of the vehicle. He said what he said to
Spice, that was edited.
Fellow officer.
It was all edited.
Next to him.
Hold
I
on.
Watched the video.
Oh, hold on. It was all right. Edited. No, it's all edited.
At that point.
But I do think that you're right in respect to the fact that he overreacted. And I'm going to tell you why this whole thing with the harassment's coming down. Because no officer, no matter what the situation, can tell a perfectly innocent bystander to go back in their home or you will be arrested. All right? He spoke to this man's wife, who was doing absolutely nothing wrong, and said, if you do not comply with me, although you're doing absolutely nothing wrong, I'm going to arrest you. And then when she proceeded to go back in her home, stand in her home, in her garage,
right.
He wanted to flex more muscle and try to intimidate her even more so.
Right.
It has nothing to do with the Landon Roberts. It has everything to do with the fact that that officer made his wife fearful for her own safety.
No, we mentioned that, and you're absolutely correct. That was, again, he overstated the situation. And if you're a wife and your husband is out there and you're concerned, you know, you're worried about the moment. You don't think properly. No. You don't sit there and say, oh, my God, I'm going to get back into the house. What are you going to do in the house? Your husband is out there with a police officer. But I think you got to be careful with this, the video. You got to go back and read the report as well, because he did call for backup with the dispatcher. This video that you're seeing is all edited.
Right.
Because we know there was a 9-minute period in which nothing happened. So instead of playing the entire 9 minutes with nothing happening, you're actually not seeing that part of it. Let me go to Ryan in a car. Hey, Ryan.
Gentlemen, what's going on?
What's up, Ryan?
Hey, so I think part of it is, if you think about it, why was the ticket dismissed so fast? Obviously, none of us know what happened prior to the dash cam. So
why do you think Ryan, I'll ask you the question. Why do you think the ticket was dismissed so quickly? Within 24 hours.
Because I think the stop was bogus. How do you get pulled over in your driveway? If he's chasing him, wouldn't the cops release a statement saying, we chased the guy for a mile, 2 miles, and then he got out? Second of all, I really don't think he waited on anything. Guys, have you ever been in an accident? You call the state police, you want the police report, it takes time to get. Maybe he requested the dash cam, and they waited and waited and waited. He got the dash cam back. Just to kind of confirm in his own head, hey, listen, maybe I was wrong, and he saw the dash cam, and this is his reaction. He wants to get it right.
I think that's possible because his agent and attorney, is prominently mentioned in the USA Today piece, and it was USA Today that released the
video.
The video.
And where do you think they got the video from?
I just said, I think maybe from the agent, maybe from...
But where do you think the agent got it from? Like law enforcement, right? This video. So if there was a situation where the cops were behind them, let's say, let's call it a mile and a half away from his house, or even a mile, don't you think that they would release video of, like, hey, here's where you see the cop put the lights on and where Landon Roberts doesn't want to pull over, right? To protect themselves and say, like, we weren't harassing him for no, you know, no particular reason. We were actually trying to stop this guy a mile and a half down the street, but he wouldn't stop for us. That's what I think the law enforcement officers would do, you know, because now they want to say.
So why wouldn't they react and come out and say, okay, we're going to give you the complete, because you see this all the time out there, the complete dash cam video,
right,
even though it might be boring as hell, because what USA Today did is they actually slicked it up. They did a little production, mm-hmm, and they had, you know, graphics,
right,
and they get writing in at this end, music in the background and stuff like that, because they were presenting it,
right,
obviously, for their medium. They weren't doing it to sit, right, there and say, here are the facts.
Right. But we've seen that before. Like, but we've seen when people have made accusations against law enforcement, we've seen law enforcement come out with the whole videos or dash cam.
Yeah, so why don't they come
like
out
they did for the Michael Bennett thing in
Vegas. But the reason why they won't, they think the reason why there's nothing to show where Landon Roberts is kind of in the wrong. So for them, it's like, you know what? Here, we apologize. We're going to send this officer to training. We know it probably was a lack of communication on our part. We handle things differently. And that's why you're
okay,
not
so
seeing
is it
police
fair,
doing that.
Is it fair to question a Landon Roberts in that the day after this, the police called him up? They apologized. Mm-hmm. They buried the ticket. They basically say dismissed.
Right.
They agreed, yeah, that the officer overreacted to the point where they told him and his attorney that they were going to send this guy back for more training. And then a few months later, he decides, not good enough. I want to raise this now as an issue because, you know, of the plight of African Americans who are being,
right,
harassed by police officers.
Well, yeah, maybe, because maybe he then sees the video, right? Maybe he gets the video and he sees the video, and then like I said, people stop putting a bug in his ear.
That's it.
Because
that's
his
he was,
thing,
he was like sort of probably peer pressure,
right? But his thing is not, you know, at least he's saying it's not for money. It's to show black people how to de-escalate a threatening situation. That's what he's saying, Landon Roberts.
But wait a minute, how do I tell another African American how to de-escalate something? When not only did a Landon Roberts do the right thing, the proper thing, but the police department admitted that he did the right thing to the point where they apologized, sent the officer to additional training, and ripped up the ticket.
Well, I think
what
Landon Roberts is trying to say, like, it's like those videos they show you in school, right? You know, one video shows you the right way and the other video shows you the wrong way to how to handle it. I think what Landon Roberts is saying is, in this video, here, look how I complied. Look how I got out of the car with my hands up. I got back. I did everything that they asked me to do. And it almost seems like what he's saying is, here's how, if you ever get caught in this situation, how you should handle it.
And here's another thing where I didn't like the fact that the officer embellished. He said, I yelled at him hard.
Right.
Just stop. You yelled at him. Let it go. Don't just yelling at him hard.
Well, and
that's
why I say, right, it comes down to, because who knows what communication that,
right,
we know. Just like Glenn said, it's cut up into a minute and a half clip, but who knows what words were used, you know,
right,
how he felt, was, you know, did he have his hand on his gun? I mean, there's a lot of situations.
Okay. We got last call coming up. Normally, we like to do mean tweets because mean tweets can be funny.
Yes,
right?
And they're always, yeah, funny.
But we're not going to do that today. We're going to do nice tweets about Jerry.
Okay.
Last call next.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI. Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go.
Good.
Last Call.
I know it's really about the end of it.
Our very, very best, you know, we've saved for last.
Heads down, not strictly come!
Where'd you get a f***ing in?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
Could add a Jerry goodbye in there, too, now, on that open. We could do that. It's all brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your car, help a child today. Schedule your free pickup, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or carsforkids.com. Boy, everybody loves Jerry today. Unbelievable. Greg Dickerson, I'm honored and saddened that I got to work with Jerry Callahan on his last morning show on WEEI. As I've told people for years, he plays an a-hole on the radio, but in real life, he's a terrific guy. Thanks, Jerry. Mike Manansky, he was on vacation today, right?
All week.
I found out the news about Jerry Callahan this AM. I love working with Jerry. His fearlessness, his allergic, honest reaction to boring radio, his honesty, his ability to get the most from his co-host and guest, his efforts for the Jimmy Fund, all of it. So you leave it at that, right? That was a nice one. Nah, I couldn't do that. He follows it up, I'm beyond frustrated the show is over, and I can't ever express here in bleep tweets what he meant to WEEI boss, to myself, and so many others. And with that, right? Now you're showing, you missed the guy, but you're showing a little bit of frustration in how it was handled. Nope. He continues on, busting balls with Jerry, Chris Curtis, Ken Laird, Kirk Minahan was the best time I've had in radio and honestly the most fun I've had in my life. And it's there, right? Now you go back and you say this was awesome. Nope. And boy, did Jerry and those guys hate my terrible stories. The disgust on his face after the Vegas story, I think, was all time. You could hear it in his voice on the air. I think that was the last one. I think he had it right there. How about Bob Ryan? Longtime writer, Boston Globe. I'm here today with the ultimate writing talent lies in the eyes of the beholder, but Jerry Callahan could write his ass off. To me, he'll always be a writer first and a yakker second. So that's kind of a backhanded compliment, don't you think?
Sounds like it.
He's a terrific writer, but yakker? He's a pretty damn good yakker.
Yeah, he was great yakker. Great
maybe
yakker.
Bob didn't agree with everything he was saying. What did Reamer say here? Jerry Callahan is a legend. I love the guy. Don't at me. Okay, we won't. Here's Chris Curtis, who, by the way, is away in Hawaii for a two-week vacation. Woke up to the news in Hawaii. Greatest moment of my professional life was when Jerry asked me to produce for him 6 years ago. I love Jerry Callahan. Should have used one of those little heart emojis. Could you do that? He is fearless, authentic, genuinely cares about those around him. There will never be another Jerry Callahan. Very nice. So a lot of people out there.
Seems like I had a lot of people that liked him.
A lot of people that liked him. This is right out. Oh, Jerry Thornton. Jerry Thornton. This is unbelievable. This is a tearjerker right out of Barstool Sports. And you know what Thornton did? Thornton found a picture with Jerry, with Kirk, with Jerry, with Trump in the background.
Yes.
Down at the White House visit when the Patriots were there. Jerry Callahan is a controversial, polarizing radio voice. There's no disputing that. And I won't for a hot second pretend to be neutral because I've always been a fan. He was one of the very first media stars in the market to embrace Barstool. And I've never once seen Callahan in person where he didn't ask about my family. So, yeah, I'm not objective. It's personal. Says I've even forgiven him for the time we were at the White House, 2016 Patriot visit. Mr. Kraft was yelling to Jerry from the balcony. Callahan just assumed he was saying Jerry with a G, when we all knew it was me he was talking to, because I'm just that kind of gracious, magnanimous guy. But what's not personal is that he's as smart a person as I've ever heard on radio. He's always been unapologetic right-wing conservative, but you don't have to agree with his politics or embrace his worldwide worldview to concede how talented he is at backing up his argument. Boy, I would say this, Jerry. Call it quits. You know, just go to the big dirt grave. I mean, this is it. They love you.
I mean, you're going on a high note.
Woo! Love them right now. And I'm sure there are a lot more. How about Dino? Have we seen one from... No, maybe not.
Nothing yet from Dino. No. I will tell you this. Kirk Minahan tweeted out Jerry's original tweet. Wow, I guess 25 years of service is only good for one paragraph, but it was... I was really hoping it would be in the top five. They must just hate goodbyes. You know, that's what Jerry tweeted and Kurt retweeted that.
They got Jerry down in paragraph six. I kind of think you're burying the lead here. But, you know, they've got to move on. And they're moving on with Greg Hill, and he will start on July 29th. And it says right here, a rotating group of additional contributors. So the only thing I fear is for the next week or so with the contributors or whatever rotating that you guys are all going to try too hard. You're going to try too hard. You're going to try too hard.
Nope.
Reamer's going to try too hard. Oh, I'm going to try too hard. You're all going to sit there and Glenn, go, me, please.
It's very simple. Yeah, they either want you or they don't.
That's it. That's it, what comes down to it. Hey, the one thing I will say, and Glenn, you know, you lose Kirk and now you lose Jerry. Those two guys are, I mean, you're talking about...
Pretty good show when they went together, wasn't
it? You're talking about the Splash Brothers, Curry and Clay Thompson. That's
why do you always compare
people
like that?
I don't know, because I...
Why did you... Earlier, he's got Magic Johnson, Larry Bird. Why are you doing that?
Michael Jordan. Yeah.
We're radio personalities. Stop it. Stop it. You're always, you know...
We talk ish for 4 hours.
So what would you... let me ask you this. What would you compare yourself to? So if this were your day and they were... well, you just got exited out of NASA a few weeks ago. What am I talking about?
By the way,
oh, you left on your own. Oh, that's right. You left on your own. So what would you say if you were comparing yourself? If I was sitting here and it was a funeral today for Mark James with a C, who would you want me to compare you to?
You know what? If I'm being in the utmost humility.
And it's Cantor.
The honest, the utmost humility. Can I just say? The utmost
Jim Rome.
Jim Rome.
Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant. Wow. With no Achilles.
Wow. That's pretty good. Yeah. I mean, one of y'all, that's, you know, best in the business.
Right. You know, Wiggy, you just be careful what you want. I'd say Durant.
All right, this hour's been brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. I don't know about you guys, but I'm ready to go home. Thank God it's the weekend. That's all
it.
I can say. Our Christian and Lou are back here on Monday. Can hardly wait. Monday, 2 o'clock. They'll be back at 2 o'clock on Monday. You're on when this weekend?
Sunday morning. I believe it's 9 to 1, something like that.
Okay. So that's the show with you and Reamer and Bradford, where only like two of you show up.
Yeah, that was.
I don't know why you do a three-man show and two guys show up.
Tomorrow I'm on 11 a.m. to 3 p.m.
By yourself?
With Andy Hart.
Oh, good. With Andy Hart.
And then...
Andy Hart challenges you. I like this.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah. Hey, listen, it's fine. Sunday from 1 to 4 by myself.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know. Jeez.
Is it a good movie on? something else.
Glenn,
I can do.
What would you rather be doing from 1 to 4 on Sunday than listening to this sexy voice? Yeah.
I don't want to listen to anything for the next few hours.
Yeah.
Red Sox baseball is coming up. And before we close this thing out, because we didn't talk a lot about the Red Sox, talked very little. The next few weeks are pretty important here. And more important, though, I think everybody's waiting for them to make a move. You've got to get something in the bullpen. You've got to get a starter. You got to get at least an arm in the bullpen. You have got to do something, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've got to do something. And to me, you're looking at Dodgers this week, and then you get, Toronto, Baltimore. But then you get 14 days in a row. The Yankees... And you get Tampa Bay. And I just don't see this team going out and winning like 10 out of 14. No.
It's going to be tough.
No, they got you mentioned the Rays, the Yankees coming up. We'll find out.
So don't they have to make a move before they face those guys?
But I'll tell you this. If the next couple weeks go really bad to the point where they're 5 out of the second wild card spot, I'm telling you, if I was Dombrowski.
They're 3 in the loss column now, you know.
Well, I know. But that's what I'm saying. If you get to 5 or 6 and behind the second wild card spot.
Then what do you
I'm
do?
I'm selling. Well, so, J.D. Martinez,
they can't do it in
July 31st.
That's it. There's only one trade deadline this year, Glenn.
You can't do it in this town. You can't. You can't just sit there and throw
the
towel
no
in.
You are barren. You have no farm system left. Yoan Moncada's not walking through that door.
No, you have to throw the towel in.
That's it.
I don't think you're going to do it in this town. I think they will find a way and sit there and say, we're still really good. Look, we won the whole thing last year. Can we fight through all of this?
It doesn't. This year just doesn't feel right.
I don't know about you guys. I want to go home. You want to go home?
That's it.
You want to go home?
I'm out of here.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Wiggy. Wiggy, change the shirt, the Wiggy and Callahan shirt. Hillman, you need the spelling? Because I got it wrong earlier in the show. I'll give you the spelling. All right, everybody. Have a great weekend. My best to Mr. Callahan and the entire crew in the morning. I'll be back 2 o'clock on Monday with our entire MF crew. All right, boys. We're out of here. See you later. Good night.
Engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.